Good evening. Good to see you all here on a, wow, amazingly beautiful day for March the 16th. And a beautiful service we're going to have this evening. So thanks for coming out. I don't know how your day was. Mine was, sort of a whirlwind of a day. But we're here now in God's presence where we love to be. And I'm not going to go through any announcements. You can just look at those later tonight when you get home. So let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for such a glorious day. The weather, the temperatures, the snow melting, the robins that have returned. And it's an exciting time of year as we're entering into the spring season. And as we come this evening, Lord, we set our minds upon you. And our hearts we give to you, Lord. We set aside the cares of the day, whatever happened through this day, the joys, the struggles, the challenges, we lay them all aside. We lay them at your feet. And we come, Father. We think about Mary, Lazarus's sister, who came and sat at your feet. And you said she has chosen the best part, and that was your word. That's why we're here, Father, to spend this night, this evening, this hour, whatever it ends up being, with you, before your throne, fellowshipping with you, communing with you as friend with friend. We love you with all of our hearts and thank you for blessing this service this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing number 315, if you'd stand, please, near the cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Let me just say something here quick. The opening hymn and the closing hymn, or hymns, are both written by Fanny Crosby. So I don't know if some of you maybe know about her life, some maybe not. She lived in the early 1800s. God used her to write thousands of hymns. When she was 6 weeks old, she had got a bad cold that went into her eyes. And at that time in the early 1800s, of course, nothing was known compared to now. And the doctor that treated her, this was in the New York area, used a salve on her eyes that caused her to go blind and never to heal. She never had sight all of her years. And so she writes these amazing hymns, but her grandmother in large part raised her. And as a girl, she had memorized the first 5 books of the Old Testament, if you could imagine. And the first 4 Gospels, the 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, into her teenage years, somewhere in there, she had all of that memorized. And so it truly an incredible story, but near the cross. So as we sing these, we think about her tonight. Jesus, keep me near the cross, where a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There a bright and morning star around me. Near the cross, O Lamb stay standing. There's a worship response. It's 628 in the hymnal, but this will be on the screen also. It comes from part of Isaiah and part of Jeremiah. It's titled, I Will Be With You. This is what the Lord says, He who created you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name.
You are mine.
When you pass through the waters,
I will be with you.
When you walk through the fire,
you will not be burned.
I am the Lord your God, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Amen. Oh, sorry. When you call upon me, I will listen to you.
You will see me,
find me, when you seek me with all your heart. Amen. You may be seated. Sorry, I jumped in a little sooner there, I think. One other thing, we had gone recently down to Lamar's, Iowa, to the Browns Century Theater, the Browns family. It was a very musical family, and they were doing a presentation on the life and hymns of Fanny Crosby. So it was really incredible. But the one thing that I just want to share too about her life before I read the offering scripture. Someone asked her in her older years, and did she live in her 90s? I sort of forget. I think somewhere in there. In those last years of her life, someone said to her, Fanny, if someone could give you your sight, if they had the ability and the technique medically to do this for you, even at this age, would you accept that? And her answer made me cry that night. She said, I would not accept it because the first face I want to see with my eyes is Jesus. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? Oh, pretty incredible. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing the doxology, please.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Father, we do praise you. We praise you with our lives, with our voices, with the strength that you give us, with the sight and hearing that you've given us, that we take so much for granted until maybe it is lost for one reason or another. So help us, Lord, always to live our lives for you. So we bring our offerings here this night and we present them before you with joy and thanksgiving, and thanking you for the work of your kingdom throughout this world, in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The children can come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time. So 2 weeks from tonight, which should be the 30th of March, we'll have the high schoolers helping again with the service that night.
Well, I can't say good morning, right? Is it morning? Do I usually say good morning? I do, don't I? Good evening. It's great to see you all tonight. Well, I brought some what? What did I bring? Some supplies. Well, what kind of supplies are these? Cleaning supplies. So do you know, what do you do with this one? Okay, you sweep. Show me how you sweep. Do you know how to sweep? I don't believe you. Show me. Come on, sweep the floor. Pretend you're sweeping the floor. There you go. That's right, Bo. Sweep the floor. Right. You got to sweep it when it's dirty, right? How about this one? This is a sweet one. It's duster. Right. It looks like a mop, doesn't it? Is that what you said? Lincoln, a mop? Well, it's kind of a duster, swifter thing. So, because I'm a little short, I'm the short one in the family. So when I want to dust something up really high, then I get this, and this is really nice. Any of you have a duster, swifter? Yeah, how do you dust? Show me how you dust. Okay, sweep the floor. Come on, keep up with my cleaning. You told me you can clean. Okay, good. All right, what about this one? Oops, there's my notes. It's a spray bottle. It is Windex. What do you do with that? Clean the windows. And you need, when you clean the windows, you need your? Okay, show me how to clean the windows. Come on. Okay, mop the floor, sweep the floor. Come on, dust the windows. Good job, you guys are good. Well, you know it's time to clean. I'm going to give you some scenarios. So do you all ever clean? Do you?
Yeah.
Sometimes, a little bit. Well, I think there's times when you have to, right? You know it's time to clean your bedroom when your mother goes in there and she can't find you. Because there's so much everything, toys and shoes and all of that, right? How about your windows? Maybe your windows in your bedroom. You know it's time to clean them when somebody washes what writes what on it. What do you write on somebody's dirty window or their car window? Wash me. Do you ever? You haven't done that yet. Uh-oh. Guess what? Everybody's gonna have that written on their car tomorrow. Wash me. Dirty windows, and it's dirty, so you can, right? That's when you know. Well, in your bedroom, I think it's time to clean under your bed because there's so many dust bunnies. You're going to start a bunny farm. Is that pretty funny? I don't either, so you better get under there and do this, right? Well, do you know what? Pastor Mike's going to talk to us about Jesus and cleaning. Do you think Jesus is into cleaning? You don't think so? How many think Jesus is into cleaning? Well, maybe not like this necessarily, but he is. Do you know, there was a time here, and Pastor Mike will talk to us about it. Mine's coming from in John chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. See, Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, and he was going into the temple, like the church. And he expected people to be in there doing what in church? Worshiping him, God, and praying and reading the scriptures. And you know what he found? They were not doing those things. He found that there were people in there selling cattle and sheep and doves that they were going to be used for sacrifices. People were even changing money, and Pastor Michael talked about that. It looked like it was a market, not a church. Jesus, think he got upset? He did. He got upset, and he did some cleaning. He cleaned out those things, and he told the people, get out of here. How dare you turn my Father's house into a market? He did some cleaning, didn't he? Well, you know what? Reminds us maybe to look at sometimes at our lives. You know, we do physical cleaning. We have to clean our rooms, right? It's a good thing to clean your room. But you know what else we have to do? You know, it says in the Bible, Jesus lives inside of us. Through the Holy Spirit, we always say, Jesus, come into my heart, right? He lives in us. So I think sometimes we have to look at our heart to see if it needs some cleaning. Now, we don't do this kind of cleaning in our heart, right?
No.
What kind of, no, that would be a little silly, wouldn't it? We cannot do that. What kind of cleaning do you think we would have to do with our hearts? We ask him to come into our hearts. How about, do you ever have a time when you just have a hard time at school maybe and somebody hurt your feelings and you're just really hurt? You are hurt because it hurts when people hurt your feelings, right? or when they might push you, or maybe they're not nice to you, maybe with their words. And if you just keep that inside of you, if you keep that hurt, it's going to weigh you down. So do you know how we clean that? We say, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Take this from me. And then he might want you to forgive that person. Forgive them. And maybe even pray for them. That would be cleaning your heart. How about a time when you get really angry? Do you ever get mad at your mom and dad? It's okay. You can just... Do you ever get mad? All right. Yeah. You probably do. I did. I got mad at my parents. Our kids got mad at us, right? Maybe they want, you're into your game or you're into your toys or you just want to read or talk on your phone and they tell you it's time to go to bed, right? Do you ever get mad about that? Or they tell you you got to do some cleaning first, right? And instead of just keeping that mad and staying all mad inside, because if you stay all mad inside, guess what? You're just going to be mad. You're just going to be mean. You're just going to say not good things. Jesus says, let's clean your heart. How do you do that if you get mad? Again, we just say, Jesus, help me not to be mad. Help me. Help me, Holy Spirit. Read some of the scriptures. Read that God loves you, that he wants us to say kind things, that he wants to take that anger and get rid of it. And then you might have to say you're sorry, too, when you're cleaning your heart sometimes. You might have to do that and forgive other people, no matter what you're going through. So we got to check our heart, okay? This time of Lent season is about checking our hearts. Ask ourselves, how am I doing inside? Do I feel mad? Do I feel angry? Am I saying bad things? Am I disobeying? Am I not spending time with God? Let's check our hearts and let's do the right thing, okay? All right, let's pray. Father, we love you so much and we thank you for these boys and girls that come out tonight, Father. Just bless them. Help us all, Lord. Show us all ways in which we need to clean our hearts, clean our minds, clean what we're doing, clean what we're saying, and let us be pleasing to you and do the right thing. Do what you would do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.
Amen. Thank you, Anne. We're going to sing 219 and 220. They go into each other. Surely the presence is of the Lord, and then he is here. So let's sing the Surely the Presence twice. I don't know if I told you that before, Joanne. Okay. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angel wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Calling out your name, he is here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. We know, Jesus, that you are here by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God, moving in our midst. And we can reach out and touch you by faith, and we do. We think of the woman, Lord, with the issue of blood, who said, "If only I can touch the hem of your garment, I shall be healed," and she did in faith. We think of so many others who came to you by faith and touched you, or you touched them, or you spoke to them, Jesus, and they were healed, cleansed, delivered, redeemed. And so, even still today, as we touch you by faith, as we walk with you, as we spend time in your presence, it is just the same. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the example you've given us from your life when you went into the temple that day and what you did. As we look into your word tonight, speak to our hearts, Father. I pray that you'd speak also through me in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 19. Sunday morning, even though it wasn't Palm Sunday, we were on Palm Sunday with our text. And so today we're coming over to Luke's gospel when he goes into the temple. Luke 19, verse 45. Then he entered the temple area and began driving out those who were selling. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it, because all the people hung on his words. Amen. So they were walking up to Jerusalem with him. He said that phrase twice. We looked at it on Ash Wednesday in the Gospel of Mark, two times in two verses. He said, "We're going up to Jerusalem." They were at Jericho. And so they go along the way. We followed him. So Luke 19, in Mark's Gospel, we find that this account, when he goes into the temple, was actually Monday. If we read Luke's gospel, it makes it sound like when he rode into Jerusalem, he just went and cleared the temple that same day on Palm Sunday. That's why you have to read all four gospels together on these accounts, because each one brings in some details that the other one did not. And Mark says this about Palm Sunday, just real quick in Mark 11. Jesus entered Jerusalem, this was on Palm Sunday, went to the temple, he looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany, that's back to the Mount of Olives, with the 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, and then it goes into this account of, well, at first he dealt with that fig tree that wasn't bearing fruit, and then he goes in to the temple. So he, remember we talked on Sunday, and I think we all know this, they were looking for a political Messiah. That's who they thought he was. That's what they thought he was going to do for them. But what he does is totally unexpected. He's always blowing their minds, isn't he? Does the same for us, doesn't he? Just the time we think we got him or God all figured out, he does something like, "Whoa, okay," because that's who he is. The people, they were expecting him to overthrow Rome. That's what they thought their Messiah was coming to do. Maybe they thought there was this Fort Antonia there, which was attached to the city walls of Jerusalem. It was actually on the northeast side of Jerusalem, and that's where a large part of the Roman army was stationed to keep the peace. They thought, well, maybe he's going to just throw them all out of there, kill them all, whatever. Or maybe go to Pilate's house and overthrow the Roman governor. I mean, all these things they had in their mind that they thought he was going to do. But instead of attacking Rome, and that was a bad system, they were pretty ruthless, he goes to the heart of Judaism, their false religion that they had made it, that God intended for good, but over the centuries of the Old Testament, it got all twisted around and perverted into a false religion and so corrupt. Sure, there were some that stayed true to God's word, as there always is. God will always have a remnant. But he goes to that. And what does it say? Then he entered the temple area and began driving out those who were selling. The temple area is the outer court, the court of the Gentiles, as we know it, where these people had set up shop. One thought here, too. To Jesus, the main issue was not the Roman occupation. It as bad as it was for the Jewish people, that was not his main concern. His issue was the corruption of what they had done to the Jewish system and leading the people away from God Almighty, leading the people so they couldn't even see that God himself was there in their midst. His main concern was not their relationship to Rome and that government. His main concern was their relationship to God himself. And that should be our main concern too. Whatever age or era we live, number one has got to be our relationship with God. And that's why we pray for revival. There has got to be a heart change to fix things, to turn things around. So he's driving out those who were selling. They had turned the outer court of the temple into this business center. Lambs for the Passover. The people coming for the Passover, they took great care and concern in selecting that lamb for that sacrifice that they were bringing to Jerusalem. They say at Passover there would have been hundreds of thousands of lambs slaughtered on that night of Passover. And the blood just ran as it would. But here was, as we know, the Lamb of God himself there to present himself. But so the lamb had to be without blemish. It had to be a male, all pointing to Jesus. We know this. We should know all this. And so they'd bring their little lambs, and these guys that working for the temple, working for Caiaphas and Annas in this whole racket that they had going on, they had these guys that set up that had to pass, the lamb had to pass the priestly inspection. And they would on purpose, nope, not good enough. You got to buy one of ours and pay 10 times the price. They were just ripping off the people in every way they could. With the lambs, there were turtle doves there. They had their money table set up. You had to buy the currency, the temple currency, and they were charging a 25% higher exchange rate, I've read, than what they should have been doing. All of these things. I mean, and imagine the stench there. Even though, yeah, in the courtyard, yes, it was open air, but all walled around it. You know, the sheep are going to do their thing, right? They're not potty trained. And you got all that mess in God's temple happening. And Jesus comes in there and he overthrows the tables of the money changers. John's gospel tells us he made a whip and drove them out and said, "How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" Mark's gospel said he would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts anymore. Chased them all out of there. And then he says in that verse 46, "It is written." What? He's going back to Isaiah. He's going to Jeremiah. "It is written, my house will be called a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of robbers. I've told you this before, but I'll share it again here tonight. I get the joy I have all these years since we've been to Israel. Roberta Stabner asked me every year, usually, I think it was January, would I come to her sixth grade social studies class and show our Israel pictures, which is a highlight for me because I get to relive it. Unfortunately, the day that's always lined up ends always been working, so she hasn't been able to do it with me. But every year, without fail, and even though I think this year, okay, it's not, I'm not going to have tears at this one point in the pictures, it is always when we come to the time when we were at the Wailing Wall, that's the western wall of the city, the old city of Jerusalem. I told you before, that is the closest the Jewish people are allowed to come to this Wailing Wall, massive, I don't know, 30, well, as high as this ceiling, if not higher than that. So you come to this wall. On the other side of that wall is where God's temple sat. And that's what, and it did the day I was there, and it does every time I talk about it. Why, Emma, is that, do we worship that place? No. But my heart just, and my mind just goes back to that time and the glory of God's temple and the Holy of Holies, where his presence literally dwelt. And there was, to me, there was such a powerful presence of the Spirit of God there. The women went one side, the men on the other. They're dividing between. And you can take your prayers on paper if you want. People do, and you roll them up and shove them in the cracks between the stone blocks on that wall. And they're just crammed full. And so I am doing that, and I'm just weeping there in prayer before the Lord. And so every year with the sixth graders, I have to stop because I start crying and they're all sort of looking at me. And I'm like, I'm sorry, you guys, but there is nothing more incredible or amazing than the presence of God himself manifested truly. And so Jesus, this is righteous anger that's taking place there when he sees this idolatry going on in God's temple. And it's enough. He drives them all out of there. He says, my house. That was his turf, so to speak. A lot of times we hear in NBA basketball with these famous Kobe Bryant or King James, LeBron, or whoever your hero is, if they got a stadium, coliseum they've been playing in for years, and they're just the best of the best, and what? This is my house, right? It's my house, Colby's house, or whatever. Well, Jesus was saying, this is my house. And my house will be called a house of prayer. And you have made it a den of robbers. And then, though yet, in the next verses, we see his compassion for the people, just the normal, everyday Jewish people that were being so deceived and so ripped off and so mistreated by the ones who should have been leading them to God. It says in verse 47, every day he was teaching in the temple. Well, yeah, so this is Monday, I told you, okay? And then he goes back to Bethany that night, and the next day he's back there again in the temple. There's one day, I didn't look back in my notes on this, I think probably Wednesday was sort of a day of rest for him at Bethany, because then comes to Passover. He was teaching in the temple. The chief priests, teachers of the law, leaders, they wanted to kill him but couldn't do anything because why? The people hung on his words, every word. If we go to Matthew's gospel of this account, it adds in there, he was healing. He says, the blind and the lame came to him at the temple and he healed them. Teaching and healing, teaching and healing is what he does. Still ministering life because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Ministering to them. So we come to today, and this, our sanctuary is to be a house of prayer, and is. Our individual lives, because today we are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Paul said two times in 1 Corinthians, don't you know that you are the temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? That's 1 Corinthians 3. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God is sacred and you are that temple. 1 Corinthians 6. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? You're not your own. You were bought at a price. So we are God's temple. And we are that house of prayer. We always have to be aware of that. We always have to be in that attitude of prayer. I can remember so many conversations over the years here that I had with Frida Nuss on the phone. Somehow, different times we'd get talking about prayer. And then would come up that verse, pray without ceasing. We're to pray without ceasing. And always we'd come to the same thing. Well, and she would say, and I would say, we're just in that attitude of prayer throughout the day. And all that we're doing, we are in that attitude of prayer. And I'm sure many of you do that. Hopefully most of you do that in your lives. You're just always communing with Him. Doesn't have to be a time only where we kneel down and specifically pray, although it can be. But it's just whatever we're doing. Lord, this, that, whatever. I've told you many times when I'm walking over here nearly every time. I'm not saying this to brag or anything. I'm just telling you almost every time I walk over from the parsonage, I am praying for the congregation. Lord, I pray over this church. I pray the blood of Jesus over this congregation. Thank you for every family and home and individual represented here. Guard them, keep them. Help us walk together in love, one towards another. That's my walk, however many times a day it is. So, we are going to here, we're going to have a time of prayer, and it's based on Psalm 95. So I have asked, got to find my other paper here. I've asked four others, I'm the fifth, I guess, people to help me in this. So Ron and Mary, Greg, Ann, if you would come, please. And you'll have a part here in reading, as we're going to read Psalm 95 together through this. Can you bring that microphone in, please? So this is on the insert of your bulletin, by the way. Part of it is, okay? I'm going to read this first part. Yeah, Ron will be first, so... Prayers of consecration. When we pray prayers of consecration, we are asking the Lord in specific ways to set us apart so that He might enable us to obey His revealed will. Therefore, we ask, what should I commit to do based on this passage from Psalm 95? How would I live differently if the truths of this passage were more real to me? So, Psalm 95, the first two verses, they're on the screen. We're going to read those together. This is how it's going to go. And then he's going to read that sentence in the insert below. And then he's going to lead out in prayer whatever is on his heart in regard to these two verses. So let's read Psalm 95, 1 and 2, please. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song.
Make the worship of God, my Heavenly Father, the most important task of my daily life and the most central activity in the life of our church. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we think of you as God. We think of you as the God who was, and we think of you the God that we'll spend eternity with, the one who brought us to be with Him forever. But you're also the God who is. You're right now. You're with us every day, every moment, and we thank you so much for that. You said you'd never leave us or forsake us. You are the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Almighty God, the Wonderful Counselor. You're the one who holds the name which is above all names. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you allow for us to live in this country, that you allow for us to live in this community, that you allow for us to freely worship and gather together in fellowship with other believers. And we give you praise because we know you as Creator. We know you as the Eternal One. We know you as the one who caused all things to come into being, and you are holy.
All right, verses 3-5. For the Lord, we'll read this together here. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land.
Heed every invitation to worship our great and gracious God. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight with praise and thanksgiving for who you are, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are you've created the heavens and earth, and you are the God of our salvation. You've given us your Son, Jesus Christ, who shed his precious blood for each and every one of us, and we thank you for that awesome gift you've given us. And may our hearts always rejoice in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Verse 6 and 7a. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care.
Readily confess our need of his care and provision. Confess our need of his gracious pardon of sin daily. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is with thanksgiving and praise that we do come before you, and we love you. And Lord, regarding our care, how do we start? We thank you so much for everything that you do for each and every one of us, for our healing, Lord, our spiritual healing. The care that you watch over our families, for our physical healing, Lord, is because of your hand, your healing hand, Lord. You are the great physician, and we thank you for that. Lord, the provisions from our clothing to our food to our homes, it's all owned and given by you, Lord, to us, as to be good stewards of that, Lord. And the greatest provision, of course, is our salvation. Lord, we thank you for that, for the sacrifice that you made on the cross, Lord, and our salvation, because we know, we're told too many times in Scripture that it is through you, Lord, that we have to come to reach our Father in heaven. Lord, we confess our sins. We're thankful, Lord, that we're not living by the law. It's through that sacrifice that you made, Lord, that we know that we can confess our sins to you. We're told in Scripture, Lord, that our sins are no longer counted, but yet we need to come to you and confess them and repent of those sins, Lord, no different than a child would come to their parents. We thank you for the forgiveness that you give to us, Lord, and we thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives, and we pray this in Jesus' name.
Psalm 95, 7b through 9. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did. Before I open God's word, I plead for the Lord to speak to me and reveal himself to me. Lord, free me from a complaining, grumbling, and murmuring spirit that distrusts your goodness, your provision, and your providential care. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this place, this house of prayer, that just as that first temple was built by Solomon and you told them they could come there to call upon your name for whatever reason, whatever purpose, and you would hear from heaven. And so, Lord, for those that have gone before us and some that are still living that have built this temple, this sanctuary, this church, to also be a place of prayer, we thank you that we can come. Your provisions are so incredible in all of our lives. And Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. We do not want our hearts to become hardened before you ever. As we read about those people in the wilderness where they tested you and tried you and doubted you, even though you poured out incredible miracles before their very eyes, their hearts became hardened. Lord, let our hearts be soft and pure and tender before you always by the work of your Spirit. Lord, as we saw with the children, and as Anne acted out the house cleaning, and Jesus, as you demonstrated the cleaning of the temple, certainly far more you were demonstrating than cleaning just that natural temple. We ask you by the Holy Spirit of God to cleanse us through the blood of Jesus Christ each and every day. And we thank you for it, Lord. Help us to trust you. You are sovereign over all. Help us to trust your provision and your goodness. We live in a world that is so uncertain. So we see things happening in Europe and in Asia and there. Lord, help us to trust you. And we pray for those people who are in the midst of it. Trust in you with all their hearts. Give them strength, Lord, in a time it's hard for us even to imagine when we live in the safety of our homes and our community here. But we lift them up to you. You are Almighty God. In Jesus' name. Psalm 95, 10, and 11. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest.
It is written, he said to them, my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. Oh, wait, I read the wrong one. Sorry. Keep me from going astray in my heart, and may I remain devoted supremely to you all my life. God, you know how we've gone astray. Each one of us. And you're the one that knows. So, Father, we just ask you to show each one of us, show me the places where I have gone astray, when I have chosen my own way or my own thoughts, or how I saw things and said, this is how I'm going to stand. Father, if it's not your way, if we have gone astray, Lord, bring us back, Father. Bring us back to your plan. Jesus, this is your church. You are the head. You're the one that knows the right way for everything that we're facing in our individual lives, in our families, in our communities, in our schools, in our care center, in our town, in our state, in our United States, and in the world. You know, you have the plan, Father. Help us, as you told us in Jeremiah 29, you said, you will seek me and find me. You will, when you seek me with your whole heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. That is our prayer, Lord. If we are being held captive in any area, in any of our lives, Father, bring us back to you. Bring us back to you. Revive in us the love we first had for you. Help us to have that joy. We pray, Lord, let revival start with us, with me, with our church, Father, and let us be the temple that you want us to be. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Can we do 220? Can you get that, Joni? 220, he is here once again. Probably twice, yeah. Go ahead. He is here, alleluia. He is here, amen. He is here, holy, holy. I will bless his name again. Listen closely, hear him calling out your name. He is here, you can touch him, you will never be the same. He is here, alleluia, he is here. His name again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch him. You will never be the same. And let's just be still before him. Joanne, if you just play it once through, let's not sing. Let's just be still before him, please. Thank you, Father, for your touch through this sanctuary this evening. Maybe it is a healing touch physically that someone needs. Maybe it's a spiritual healing that someone needs. Maybe it's encouragement that someone needs, strength from within in the midst of a crazy time. Maybe, Lord, it's your peace, a manifestation of your peace that passes all understanding. I thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you to those who prayed. Let's stand and we'll sing this closing hymn, Fanny Crosby's Close to Thee. This one might not be so familiar to you, but it is beautiful. And again, as we sing it, just think, you know, of her life and for her to say that, no, if I could be healed in my eyes, nope, I want the first thing I see to be Jesus, close to thee. Thou my everlasting portion, more than friend or life. life to me. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee. Close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee. Not for ease or worldly pleasure, nor for fame my prayer shall be. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with thee. Close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with thee. Lead me through the veil of shadows, bear me o'er life's fitful sea. Then the gate of life eternal may I enter, Lord, with thee. Close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee. Then the gate of life eternal may I enter, Lord, with thee. Amen. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thanks for coming out tonight. Thank you, Joanne, for the beautiful music and those that helped. See you Sunday.